So here we are at the Salesforce Net Zero Summit in Washington, D.C. So we're going to do a little bit of a different intro this morning or this afternoon, whatever time zone you're in when you're listening to this. It's a beautiful day in Washington, D.C., but the planet is having some challenges, as you all know. And with climate change and the reporting requirements growing and the SEC now issuing new rules for publicly traded companies. We're here to see what companies are doing, what tools like Salesforce can do to help companies, and what companies who are here are using and how they're going about dealing with these reporting issues and other related climate-related issues. I'm thrilled today to be with Denise Naguib, who is Global Vice President of Sustainability for Marriott. So I'm going to jump in and just not do our usual intro, but I will tell you that this is the Electric Ladies podcast, formerly known as Green Connections Radio, where I interview interesting, amazing, talented women in the energy, sustainability, and climate space who are changing the world. And we talk about leadership, innovation, careers, climate, sustainability, all of these issues, ESG. And we also give career advice at the end of the interview. So I am going to jump in here with Denise. So first of all, what is it that brings, I know you're speaking at this conference today. Thank you for being here, by the way. I know you're speaking at this conference today, this summit. Why come to a summit like this that is really focused on software? You're a hotel company, you're in the travel industry. Why come to a summit that's predominantly about reporting tools?
Well, thank you very much, Joan, for having me. It's great to be with you and great to connect, and thanks for being here on this beautiful day. I'm really excited to continue our journey with Salesforce. We have been great partners with Salesforce for a very long time. We use a lot of Salesforce software within our company. And we, as a relationship from a sustainability to sustainability perspective, have had a very rich, long history together. So my counterpart, Patrick Flynn, who's the SVP of Sustainability for Salesforce, and I have had a long journey together, and really I've just been fascinated to watch the focus and the pivot from Salesforce on the net zero focus and identifying how they are going to help their customers throughout the world to drive and really execute against one of the world's most challenging issues. And so while this is obviously focused on net zero software and the tool itself, I think it's much more than that. I think it's about relationship. It's about understanding what we are all working towards and for, and how do we really think about and pivot our focus not to be, you know, customer, supplier, competitors, whatever we are to one another, but really collectively as entities that really need to work together to move the issue forward.
To save the planet, right?
Absolutely.
That's interesting.
We like to save ourselves, say.
Exactly. Touche, right? All living things on the planet, right? So there's an alphabet soup of tools out there. There's an alphabet soup of reporting systems from SASB to TCFD, which was the SEC used as their basis. There's, you know, CDP. I mean, I can go on and on. But why, what is it that you suggest, just taking your relationship with Salesforce out of it, okay, but what is it about, what do you suggest a company who is jumping into finding data collection tools and reporting tools? Because, you know, as people talked about earlier in the session, a lot of people are still using spreadsheets, or they don't know what to do, or, you know, maybe they haven't been as required as others. But if they want to be a supplier with a company like Marriott or Salesforce, they have to get with this program. So what is it that makes a reporting tool good?
So I think the first thing is to note that there's no wrong tool. I think the process of starting and collecting information is critical. It's not, I mean, absolutely, there's you know, values that are offered that are different, you know, in terms of some of the systems that are, you know, like the net zero cloud, but also, you know, there is value in having a spreadsheet. There's value in writing stuff down and understanding where you're even starting from. So I think everybody's on a different phase in the journey. And if you're not at the point where you're even able to gather that initial information to help you make some of those understanding decisions that are foundational, you can't be thinking about the predictive future associated with some of the opportunities when you look at the data much more deeply. So I think it's really about starting from somewhere. And wherever you are on that sustainability journey, if you are literally don't even know what your carbon footprint is, to you are driving full steam ahead to net zero, there are tools and resources that will help you out there. But I think the idea of just starting with understanding where you are and where are the levers that you can pull to move the needle. Everybody has to do their part and more, and everybody has to work with their stakeholders in and out of the company to move this effort forward. And it's not going to happen by being, you know, totally insular and doing your thing and not even talking about the data that exists today. And while, of course, the SEC rules and what's happening is, you know, creating a lot of angst, I think there's real value in understanding that a level playing field is a really important thing for the world. For us to all be assessed, you know, initially in the U.S., but obviously with the European nomenclature that's coming out around the same topics, this will help all of us to be better, to track data better, to be able to make sure that we understand our opportunity to make better decisions with that insight. And so I really just think, like, whatever tool that it is that you're using today, Excel or paper or whatever, just starting with the what do I know and how do I make change in what I know today, and use the tools and resources around you to make that change through time. And as every one of us gets smarter, we'll get more sophisticated in what we're gathering and how we're using that information to make better decisions.
So lots of questions in there. Thank you for that. I totally agree. And I think that there's it does level the playing field, and it levels the playing field from in preventing greenwashing, too, for example. Where companies, you know, up until now, and it's all been, or until the SEC issues their rules, it's really voluntary. And so they can say whatever the bleep they want, or they can just say, you know, the good stuff and not the bad and the ugly, right? So one of the things I want to talk to you about is I've seen Marriott grow into this work, okay? I know Kathleen Matthews, who I think was the first global head of sustainability for Marriott. And I've kind of from the outside a little bit watched it evolve, and you guys have since then been on the forefront in many ways in this industry, in the travel and tourism industry. What have you seen has been the most effective for helping you reduce your carbon footprint and writ large? Okay, because there is the not just the E but the S and the G part. But the environmental part, what is it that you've seen that has been really pivotal in helping you guys?
Yeah, so absolutely. Kathleen was one of the first champions, I think, within Marriott. She helped to stand up our first set of sustainability and social impact goals as a company, I think back in 2008, really establish what was then called the Green Council and now is our ESG executive committee, essentially. So she's been a really important starter, you know, innovator within the company back in her day. I think one of the most important starting points, whether it be on social or environmental, is back to the measurement. Setting a goal and making progress every single day towards that goal with actions is how you get things done. By setting a goal, even if that goal seems unattainable, challenging, unsure of what the steps are between X and Y, I think the fact that we put stakes in the ground and work towards them drives the behavior that we want to see. So when we were working on our Serve 360 platform and putting our kind of second generation goals together across environmental, social, diversity, equity, inclusion, I remember our beloved CEO, Arne Sorensen, who passed a little more than a year ago, he really was so instrumental in challenging us to not set goals that we knew all the steps of how we're going to get to. He said to us, if you know the path of how you're going to get and reach that goal, the goal's not good enough. And that really set a framework for how we think about and set and developed our long-term goals under the Serve 360 platform. We set goals that we absolutely had no idea how we were going to achieve. As an example, we set a goal to reduce our food waste by 50% without having a baseline, without understanding how we were going to get that baseline, without understanding what are all the steps of how we're going to then start to reduce that footprint. But it was really important. I mean, think about it. The idea that we have the opportunity to cut our food waste in half and the activation that that created, both internally within Marriott and within our industry. We worked on pilots as an industry to figure out what are the tools and resources we can leverage together. We developed methodology as an industry to figure out how do we measure food waste and then report that information to customers, just as we had with carbon and water. And that first step of setting a goal and putting that stake in the ground, planting that first seed and watching it grow, was absolutely critical to move our entire industry and especially our company moving forward in this one thing. And I can use example after example like that to say, you know, until we put a goal and until we put that effort forward in front of people to say, we're trying to reach that. We're all a competitive bunch. You know, when you challenge people and give them the incentive to do better, they will do that. And so, so I think really just setting a goal and really working towards that, I think is just an instrumental step in the solving some of these really challenging things.
So you guys are very dispersed, right? You have different lines of different courtyard or what have you. How do you operationalize that? I mean, you set a goal, you know, somebody, Arnie, may he rest in peace, or, you know, you or whoever sets a goal and it's announced, and then what? I mean, you got to get it down to the, you know, to the housekeeping staff in each hotel, down to the cooking staff in each hotel, down to the front desk and the blah, 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 right?
Yep.
I mean, I travel a lot, right? And especially pre-COVID, I travel a lot. And there's... You know, all hotels and all systems are not created equal.
That's right.
So how do you actually get it down to the granular level so that these actions are taking place and then be able to report it up?
Yeah, that's a great question, Joan. And yes, we have over 8,000 hotels in, I think, 130 countries. We have 30 different brands that are under the umbrella. We have, you know, hotels. We have homes and villas. We have yachts. And we are absolutely, you know, a growth company, and we have a lot of different paths we can grow to. So I think the way I would say we tackle this is twofold. Yes, setting the company corporate strategy and goals is a really important first step. And then translating that wherever possible down to the individual hotel. So sometimes there are efforts that are all the way down. The individual hotel might have a goal, like one of our goals is to get 100% of our hotels to have a third-party sustainability certification. That's an individual hotel effort, right? We aren't doing it for them. We're not telling them, you know, you need to do X, Y, and Z. We're saying, based on where you are, what type of hotel you are, and where you are located around the world, these are all the different ways by which you can get that third party. These are partners that we have. It's up to the hotel to execute against that, right, with the tools and resources that we've provided. So that's an example of like individual hotel information, you know, education, and, you know, run, go do your
thing. And you're giving them resources they can tap in country.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, there are lots of different certifying agencies out there. We've vetted the ones that we feel are the best ones that will count towards the 100% certification goal. And then we, you know, tell hotels based on where they are to seek out, look at the options and decide which path they're going to take. And then on the backside of that, we have a centralized database that collects the environmental practices and the data for each hotel, one of which is around the certification point. And because so many customers are leveraging that third-party certification to make decisions on their travel, both individual customers and corporate customers, there is financial value for hotels that have that third-party certification. They get put on tops of lists if they are able to deliver against that third-party certification. So we help them understand that. So that's the, you know, the carrot on one side. There's a mechanism through which they can drive their actions based on the support and the work that we've done. In other aspects, like, for example, when we set our carbon goal, we took the corporate goal, we kind of went down to the continent level. And then for our managed hotels, we gave them very specific goals for the individual managed hotels and recommended goals for our franchisees to deliver against that. And through the mechanisms, again, tools and resources that we have for them, they can pick and choose ways by which they can deliver against them.
Are they in the, are those criteria in the, those metrics in the performance evaluation and the compensation structures for those hotels?
For our managed hotels, yes, mm-hmm. because for our managed hotels, there are associates under the Marriott International Company. For franchisees, no. Again, there are recommended goals, and they can decide. And some companies that franchise our hotels do have goals within their own frameworks as well. And I think it's growing. I think more and more people are recognizing, you know, we have a lot of owners that are publicly traded. So obviously some of the regulations are coming out. They're understanding that. We have investors that absolutely tether the environmental, social, and governance criteria to how they're going to invest in future projects. So we have a lot of owners that are coming to say, hey, my investor wants, or I'm, you know, seeking more investments and they need X, right, in this space. So I think there is that sort of correlation now between the ability to get financing, to drive, you know, growth by having some of these metrics in place.
Well, I think there's also some of the larger companies when they're doing their pre-approved travel systems, mm-hmm. like a Deloitte. Yep. I used to work for Deloitte. I worked for Amex and Chrysler and other companies, that they have criteria now that you have to, they'll only approve suppliers yep. that are that have a low sustainability footprint or whatever that meet certain criteria. I mean, it's That's now right. in RFPs.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an incredible number of RFPs. And that really is the carrot that really drives the some of the efforts, right? So while a hotel may or may not be part of our portfolio in terms of a managed franchise perspective, or we may or may not have a brand standard, what our kind of our sticks, if you will, of how we like get hotels to do certain things that they have to abide by to, you know, keep the flag overhead, we still can leverage the demand from the consumer perspective, whether it be the B2B through RFPs or the leisure for through, you know, even booking systems, third-party booking systems. Again, if they're leveraging this set of data around sustainability to bring forward to customers who obviously are caring about this more and more, the hotels that are driving this more and more, those hotels are going to win. They're going to win more business. They're going to get higher rates, all of those things. And so I think the connection between the sales and the revenue and the demand with the actions of the environmental practices are really important. So for some of our environmental practices, they are required for hotels to do, for example, linen and terry reuse. That's a required, it's been a decade, a requirement, but we are, you know, in this year, we will be transitioning all of our hotels to residential size amenities. That will be a requirement that every hotel will have large format shampoo, conditioner, and body wash.
Saves a lot of plastic on those little tiny.
500 million tiny bottles for our portfolio wow. every year. So not a small amount in our world. And that's not even looking at the stuff inside the bottle. That's just the plastic waste because those tiny bottles are not recyclable as opposed to the large format bottles. They're not. No, most people put them in there. We call that wish cycling, but yeah.
Yeah, I've done a bunch of stories. I like that, wish cycling.
Yes.
I'm going to borrow that.
Please. Yeah, no, it's a common term. It's not mine, yeah. but it's, yeah.
So many questions going through my head, but before I forget, you talked a lot about the hotels, you know, you have these, my word, best practices. So do you have a database where, you know, a hotel in Kenya can tap the same possible systems that a hotel in San Francisco or DC or London can?
Yes, absolutely. We have an intranet, so an internal website, basically, that has all the different tools and resources for our hotels to tap into. We also, there's something called business councils, so leadership groups within markets. We have over 100 business councils where it's general managers in communities, in markets, and one of the focus areas is Serve 360, our sustainability and social impact platform. And so they leverage each other. My team and I, you know, communicate to business councils regularly to share latest and greatest best practices. And so they leverage that for communication and actions within their worlds. General managers talk to each other a lot and figure out how, you know, how to do things better together. Whenever we deploy a project, we usually have a, you know, a proof of concept where we're testing with a handful of hotels. We do a pilot with, you know, many, many more hotels before we go global with any deployment. So we kind of bring people along, make sure we're getting it right, make sure we've got the tools and resources right before we ultimately, you know, put it out into thousands of hotels. So we use, you know, some of our champion hotels for different projects like that. And so, I mean, there are lots of different ways that hotels can tap into some of these best practices, just even looking at the list of questions that we're asking them so that we can respond, you know, to RFPs and to roll up this information. We've got, you know, dozens of environmental practice questions. Individual hotels can use that and see, oh, what am I saying no to, right? What am I not doing today? You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You can say, oh, I'm not doing anything from a, you know, single-use plastics perspective. What are some of the ways by which I can make it pivot in this? Or, hey, I haven't changed my LED, my lighting to LEDs. Like, that's a way that I can make an impact. And, you know, most of the time, many of these things have returns on the investment as well. So I think that all of our hotels really do have multiple access points in the region, at corporate, at, you know, online, and with each other to really move the needle on some of the work that we're
That's such a good point that they can deconstruct the questionnaire to see where they need to focus. That's such a really good point. You said several things there that I'm interested in. I want to talk a little bit. I want to find out more about Serve 360. But do they, let's just talk about Serve 360 because there's I could talk to you for about 8 hours, and I'm trying to resist doing that. Talk about Serve 360 a little bit, and is that looks like it's ESG.
It is.
It's not just, okay. So, and you know, there's a lot to get into that, right? But talk a little bit about Serve 360, and is that public or is that just internal?
That's public. So Serve 360 is our sustainability and social impact platform that we launched in 2017. It really set the framework as we merged with Starwood, became the largest hotel company in the world, and it really set us up for our long-term sustainability and social impact goals. Most of them were out to 2025, so when we launched them in 2017. It's divided into four coordinates, we like to call them. It's the public-facing view of it is a compass. So you can see four northeast, southwest, the four coordinates. So north, or nurture our world, really focuses on how we deliver in the communities where we operate. So volunteer hours, commitments to, you know, benefiting the communities. It also includes our focus on nature-based solutions and biodiversity. The second coordinate, S or South, the sustain responsible operations. Sustain responsible operations really looks at how do we function within our four walls, how do we drive sustainability. So this is everything from our environmental impacts, like reducing our carbon, our water, our waste, including food waste. It's looking at responsible sourcing, how do we buy better products, and our commitments around sourcing products in certain categories. It's looking at our built environment, as I mentioned, the goal to get 100% of our hotels sustainably certified, but also to drive some of the change within the design standards, which while we don't build our own buildings, we develop those design standards for all the different brands. And it's really addressing our climate risks and thinking about that. So recently we've announced that we're working towards setting a science-based target and reaching net zero no later than 2050. Our third coordinate is the East, or empower through opportunity. And that's really thinking about how do we leverage our size and scale in our sector to bring in historically disadvantaged individuals, both in our associate base, so making sure that we are bringing in diverse communities into our associate base. We also look at it from a supplier perspective and how do we drive diversity within our supply chain. And leveraging that power, I mean, example right now, how do we make sure that as there are significant refugees associated with the Ukraine crisis, how do we bring them into the workforce so that they have jobs and meaningful work that they can participate in. We've done similar programming with Afghan refugees in the United States as that crisis was unfolding, to be able to give people pathways of work. You know, so many associates throughout our company started in hourly positions with our company and have the opportunity to grow because hospitality, there isn't an impediment necessarily from an education perspective to get in the door. And so we really do believe that our, you know, the power of empowering people, either as suppliers or suppliers or employees with us.
Well, and it gives them dignity and it gives them an anchoring, so they feel like it takes away one of the unknowns and that's scary,
absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
And I want to talk to you about that crisis, yeah, too. And the fourth one?
Fourth one is welcome all and advance human rights. So again, as a hospitality company, we feel very strongly about our doors being open to all. So understanding our value from a diversity perspective to bringing in people from all over the world, peace, cultural understanding, and then really addressing the very challenging issue of human rights concerns throughout the world and specifically human trafficking. And so we have trained over 900,000 associates on recognizing the signs of human trafficking through our awareness programs and really understanding. And genuinely, some of our associates through the training have been able to identify issues and save lives.
Really?
Genuinely save lives in hotels where people were that were trafficked.
Thank you.
Overall, those four coordinates really frame up the goals and the efforts for our ESG platform. It is the direction we focus on and really guide our efforts on. So, if it doesn't sort of fall into this area of focus, it's really not currently material to the company in terms of the opportunity to really drive change. We have goals, time-bound metrics around each of these areas to really make sure that we are focusing on and driving in the right work.
What are your employees, how do you tap into the culture there? How do you understand that, S is the hard part. A lot of the environmental stuff, how much, you look at your electric bill, you look at your water bill, et cetera, et cetera. But what about the S part? How are you understanding what the values of your employees really are? I'm sure you have employee surveys such. But I've been in big companies with those, and to be frank, some people don't always tell the truth, and they're not always. So how do you match what the employees really want with what the image is of Marriott?
Well, I will say that I think it's really important to leverage those communication channels like the surveys to share your voice. So if you're an associate out there and taking those surveys and not being 100% truthful on them, I would ask you to consider the change that you're trying to make. If you really are trying to address change, you need to be, clear on your perspective and show and talk to people and let them know in whatever way those pathways are open to you to help people understand. Leaders need to know what they should be doing more of differently for their associates in order to make that change.
In other words, speak up. Don't hold your tongue.
That's right.
Don't be afraid to say the truth.
That's
just
right.
Spit it out.
That's right.
If you want to help, if you really want to make change, just say it.
Absolutely. So I think while that is a path, I think the kind of ongoing conversation and engagement with associates, right? We get feedback from associates about things that we should be doing better. They talk to each other. The business councils I mentioned, there's also a junior business council with, junior leaders who are coming up in the ranks and using that, the voice of those associates. As we've set our goals, I think the most powerful, and you spoke specifically on the social goals, having metrics and showing that we are making progress, I think goes an incredible way with associates to understand, do these things matter to them? Because they get engaged in places where there is opportunity and it matters to them. And the volunteering is an example, right? Focusing on some of the areas with diversity, equity, inclusion. My team leads the supplier diversity area. And the number of associates that just say, how can I help? Maybe I don't spend a lot of money, but how can I help, right? Can I mentor, an entrepreneur, woman in business, for example, right? And can I, help you at a conference or whatever? I think there are always opportunities like that. And so we see, I get a lot of calls from our associates to say, hey, can you talk to my team or can you talk to me or I'm interested in this space? I think that just that in and of itself, right? Everybody wants to be part of our departments, which is a signal that this stuff matters to them, right? On the front end, we hear it very clearly from our recruiters and university relations specifically that these are values that people are asking about in the hiring process and expecting as they become part of our associate base. So I really do think we get a lot of voices into it, and that, as we, the more effectively we can communicate both the opportunity for associates to get involved and then the progress we're making as a company, I think we are seeing the value of that and the impact that that's having on people to feel like, yeah, this is real. They're not just a bunch of words on a page, but there are stories. Our Serve 360 report is full of just amazing stories of associates doing incredible things. It's not about what the corporate team is doing. It's about individuals on the ground at hotels around the world that are making meaningful change.
Yeah, I've had some executives tell me that when other people in other departments are interviewing talent, they've called them and said, hey, can you spend 10 minutes with so-and-so? They're asking about our sustainability program, even if it's like somebody for IT or something completely unrelated. Right. So you've touched on...
It's not all unrelated, Joan. It's all related, and everybody has a job.
I know, they all do, absolutely. I totally agree. So and that's the important thing, right? It has to be integrated strategically. Yes. So you touched on something I want to explore a little bit, and I was asking about in the last session, and that is supplier diversity. You guys obviously are, you know, being in a bazillion countries and focused on diverse suppliers, and yet you also are a publicly traded company and you have to report this stuff and you want to report this stuff. A lot of the, you know, I've interviewed people all over the world, women-owned businesses in Kenya and Bangladesh and wherever, right? They don't even have reliable electricity or internet, much less the capacity to do a fancy spreadsheet on fancy technology, you know, software, SaaS software. So how do you have or maybe adapt your supplier system to attract and keep people, small, tiny suppliers who you know you want to help and who make a difference for you, but they don't have the capacity to do the tracking that you necessarily need for your own reporting? How does that work?
Yeah, great question. So we don't actually require our suppliers to do any of the tracking. The tracking is all based on how much we spend with the supplier. And the important thing is for us to be able to identify those suppliers as diverse suppliers. So internationally, we use an organization called We Connect International. They are the only certifying body across the globe outside the United States to certify women-owned businesses. They are in dozens of countries and certify thousands of women-owned businesses, all sizes, to essentially confirm that they are indeed a woman-owned business. It's not a shell company. There isn't like a woman in front not making any of the decisions. Their criteria is it's 51% or more owned, managed, and operated by a woman. So they have that has to be proven out as part of the evaluation process. And then, you know, they have to get recertified every so many years in order to make sure that that is maintained through time. And then we then identify, oh, that's a We Connect certified supplier, or in the United States, it could be, you know, a different organization like We Bank is the women-owned business in the U.S., or an LGBT-owned supplier, or a minority-owned supplier, or veteran-owned supplier. There are certifying bodies that we trust, and we leverage that information. So if we find out a supplier of ours is not certified, we will encourage them to be certified through these processes.
Yeah, those can be expensive, though, too. I mean, Virginia and the SBA, I think, have self-certification, too.
There is self-certification, yep. And obviously, some of our suppliers do have that. And then, you know, there are opportunities. But it's relatively inexpensive. It's usually under $500.
I thought it was a lot more than that.
Nope. And it really does pay dividends for the supplier because they're part of a database. So it's not just about us being able to tap into them and be able to use them, but then other companies can tap into them and say, oh, I'm looking for this widget and I'm looking for, you know, to try to, you know, diversify the spend with the women-owned businesses. If you're not in the system as a certified supplier, we don't have government mandates to report on our supplier diversity program as other companies do. So it is voluntary. It's been voluntary for the 25 years that we've had the program. But it ultimately helps us innovate, to drive competitiveness, to look at things from a different perspective, to have, you know, diverse thought in the decision-making of products, just like we do in the talent.
Well, and it's interesting because a lot of times, I want to ask you one more question, then get some career advice for you before I let you go back to your life. But it's interesting because one of the things that frankly, Hillary Clinton found when she launched the first ambassador for global women and girls, or global ambassador for women and girls, Milan Verveer, was that decisions were being made about women and about women's lives on a consumer level all over the world without any women at the table making the decision. And then they would wonder why it didn't work, why it wasn't adopted, why it didn't X, Y, and
Amazing.
Z. And they go, well, duh, if you don't have the person who is going to be your using
target audience,
it.
Right.
If you don't have the end user represented at the decision-making table, it's funny how that happens.
Yeah.
It's like the Nova story, right? You know, putting a naming a car for Latin America doesn't move.
No go.
not going to work too well, folks. So Russia and Ukraine. So you said that you guys are offering jobs to people, refugees coming from Ukraine.
In Europe, yeah.
In Europe.
Yeah.
So they right. Okay, so we don't have many coming to the U.S. yet. So how does that work exactly? I mean, do they have to go to, or is that like what happens at a refugee center, or how does that mechanism work? How do they even know that you have, that they can apply for a job at Marriott?
So I think more broadly, we do have programs that we work with the International Refugee Committee, IRC, who really help us to identify refugees and identify and connect with opportunities. So we have programs in that I mentioned before around Afghanistan and the work that is happening to connect in. So a lot of the humanitarian efforts right now is for hotels around the European communities to be able to offer housing for Ukrainians specifically. I think there, I'm sure, will be, you know, very clear pathways in the future in terms of for employment when those times come. And oftentimes it's with partner organizations that are making the connections between companies like ours and the refugee organizations that are dealing with the on-the-ground situations. So, but I think holistically, we, you know, have programming like with the IRC here in the United States for refugees to be able to get opportunities and connect in with the open jobs that they can be part of. And again, I think really important, you mentioned it before, in terms of giving people meaningful work and dignity in some of the most challenging times in their lives.
Yeah, it just breaks your heart. I was just talking to a woman here at the conference who's from Russia, and her family is split between Russia and Ukraine. And I really feel for those people. So I always like to close our interviews with giving some career advice to mid-career women. Women who have, say, you know, a good, say, 15 years of experience and an education. They know what they're good at. They want to excel. They want to be you maybe one day. But they want to excel. They want to make money. They're ambitious. And they also want to make a difference. So what advice would you give to them?
Well, I would say you can make a difference in any role that you're in. I think that is a really important thing to say. It is not about being part of the sustainability or social impact team that only then you can make a difference. Every single role in a company has the opportunity to make meaningful change, whether you are in finance or legal or operations or whatever it is, public relations. I think identifying how you can make that change based on the skills that you bring forward, based on the opportunities that you can get involved in things, I think is really invaluable. So seeking out those conversations to ask people who you feel like, oh, they're making change, well, how can they leverage your talents? How can they use your skills in the work they're doing? Whether it be, you know, as simple as volunteering for opportunities where it can, or doing a special project because you offer a skill set that that group doesn't necessarily have, or making a connection with, you know, whatever might be needed on the other side. I mean, every opportunity is different. But really thinking about, well, what do I bring to the table? What is a talent or skill that I have? And how can I leverage that? I'm not discouraging people from getting into the space by any means, but I think the idea of the only way you can make change is being part of like departments like ours, I think is not necessarily the best lens, because we have to integrate these issues into the everyday, into every role, every department, every division, every company. Otherwise, we're not going to make the meaningful impact that we need to make collectively. And so I really encourage all of us to think about what can we all do better in the places where we are doing best.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I have women, I do career coaching too, and I have women come to me and they say, oh, I have to quit my job because I'm not making a difference. I need to go to a job in a nonprofit or a sustainability department. I go, hang on. You know, everybody needs all these skills, you know, and then, as you said, we talked about it a minute, they have to be integrated into the whole, every aspect of the company. So find a way to use who you are and make a difference when, by doing what you're doing. Well, thank you so much for joining us on Electric Ladies Podcast, Denise. I really appreciate it. Is there any final thoughts before I let you get back to the summit?
Well, thank you so much, Joan. Great to have a conversation with you. And I just encourage every single one of us to find one thing they can do differently today to drive meaningful change in the world that we live in.
Perfect.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Denise Naguib of Marriott Hotels, Global Sustainability VP. On Electric Ladies Podcast. So find us anywhere you like to listen to podcasts, on our website, electricladiespodcast.com. Find me on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, anywhere you can find me anywhere. Thank you for joining us. I'm Joan Michelson. See you next time.